Go ahead.
I got a lot of questions for this. Okay, so you went to Chami's show first off.
Yeah.
Where at? Like somewhere in LA
downtown
randomly?
Downtown LA.
Okay. And out of anybody that got shot, how could hot dog guy got shot?
Yeah.
Really. Damn, what did he do? What did he do, yo? Like, did he just like, did he like burn the dogs or something? Did he not have enough? Or like they got beef? Is Oscar Mayer got a hitman coming out or something? Like, damn. I mean, I know supply be bad these days, but
Oprah could not be reached for comment.
That was rough. Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about music, news, and culture that mostly matters. I'm Sean.
I'm Dan.
And this is episode 194.
It's time to make that new song.
I know. We got 6 weeks.
It's going to be 199, and I'm going to be like, still got to make that new song.
Underachieving overachievers. Anyways, for this lovely edition of Audio Face Podcast, we have three album reviews that we're going to go into. We've got Vince Staples, self-titled Vince Staples. We have You See For Yourself album by IDK, and Twin Shadow, self-titled by Twin Shadow. So three albums, I'll just say that. We'll get into that in a little bit. We've got some singles, got some news stories for actually a lot of funny news stories this week.
Just sprinkling light news stories.
Nothing too wild. But it's gonna be
it's a dense Audio Face episode. A lot of music, a lot of singles we'll be getting to in a moment, but God, the stories are pretty funny. Like, and
I can't wait.
It's worth being acknowledged. We do a lot of really, really dark things on Audio Face. Like, no jokes. Like, there's some dark things in the music industry that we cover a lot, right? So this is a pretty light episode in all senses of the word. So let's go.
All right. First single we have, I Go by Peggy Gu.
You go.
Eight different pronunciations, trying to make sure I get one of them right. But anyways, I actually like the single. It's a fun track where it's like this really almost 80s-esque EDM song that I really like. It has a lot of 80s influences, and it's a little longer track, maybe about 5 minutes or so. And like, we haven't done like a solid dance music hit or anything in a while on Audio Face. It's been really rap and indie heavy a bit here or there, but fantastic track. I think a lot of people enjoy it, but big 80s influences in it.
Yeah, Peggy Gu, I like how Sean was just like spreading his bases, just like going to all of the pronunciations. But again, we may not be the best with that part of it, but her work, all the music, bangers, just constantly.
Good.
I've had like Starry Night and a couple of other songs from like a similar era of 2019 EPs like on my playlist for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Super good. Love everything she does as a DJ. But yeah, that's much of what I got for that. Next one, there's Gravity Gliding by Mask Wolf. Found my colors and started flying, ain't that canary? Got pain in my soul, I ain't here to toast. Champagne problems, I was feeling like a ghost. On the lane, switching roads, got drive, no control. Beat me up, I'ma need some space on the go. Wait, okay, gravity gliding got me, ay, okay. Floating through, but I still paved my way. Stargaze tripping, but I'm ay, okay. Gravity gliding light. Yeah, it's a short little trap song, and it's
whatever. I mean, it's just your average trap or anything, but I don't think there's any big hype about it. I'm not super familiar with Mask Wolf, but I know some people that enjoy his work and everything, but I think it could be slightly overrated, especially this track. I go, okay, whatever. It sounds like a bunch of things I've heard in the past 5 years.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I'm paying less attention to the trap artist in this case, who's pretty, like, you know, inoffensive. Like, It's sort of like almost a Drake level, except like, you know, Drake's a different thing, but it's just like, you know, this is not great, not terrible. It's just like, you know, its own sort of bland thing. But the production in it is at least sort of like, you know, fairly interesting. It seems like trap is evolving, at least in that regard. So that's fine. But yeah, more or less, it wasn't that much of a thing to say about it. Masked Wolf, I think, will be coming out with an album soon. And there was another single that was released that I heard a little bit of that was interesting. But yeah, a lot of people like it. So we'll talk about it when that comes out. And then we have Mafiosa by Nathy, which again, covering our bases, Pelusa. I was just trying so hard not to say Nancy Pelosi.
That's the same thing. Whenever I see her name on the screen, I want to say Nancy Pelosi too.
But we will put respect on her name.
I'm not going to say that because I want to respect her as an artist. So
So we'll put respect with two Ks. Not one, not three, two Ks on her name with Mafiosa, because it's a really cool song and the music video for it as well. Yeah. Yeah, you got to describe it. I was going to say it's like a salsa kind of thing.
Yes.
And in Dan understands 40% Spanish kind of translation. It's like women playing with the idea of like the men are incapable and too scared to be in the mafia and like running the mafia themselves. Like the women are like taking over and running a mafia and being in like a new mafia themselves. And it's like a fun kind of empowering song in that way. And the music video also kind of illustrates this in a really cool kind of shot kind of way. So yeah, it's a really fun song. Really liked it. Liked that came in my pick.
Mm-hmm. That's a fun track. I enjoyed it too. And last but not least, we have Motley Crue by Post Malone.
Okay, Sean, I gotta stop you there. Last and least, we have Post Malone's Motley Crue.
Yes. Yes, last and least. Motley Crue by Post Malone. I see you with glitch. Where's my broke stitch? My whip from Fast Furious. Cause we got on tears. I get the calms, period. Color in ice, Siberia. I'm at the top of the pyramid. Bitch, I'm a star, I'm serious. We gonna play serious. Came with the gang, I'm myriad. Came with the gang, I'm myriad. Came with the Marco. Sit up, oh, I just forgot where I was. Pull it out, throw it out. Sit up, oh, get up, beat. This is one of the worst songs I've heard this year. By far. Because Post Malone trying to do Lil Uzi Vert voice is the funniest thing I've ever heard on this podcast. It is like somebody grab his balls and just started using like a squeezy toy. Extreme pause, by the way. But just like just destroyed his voice trying to do it. And it is the funniest thing in the world to hear it. It's atrocious. It's horrible.
We here on the Audio Face podcast really do enjoy when artists take the chance and do something different with their sound. Honestly, really. It just sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's, you know, not so great, but we applaud the effort. This sucked. This is just bad. I don't know what else to tell. I mean, like, I will say that, like, it's interesting that Post Malone has decided to make, you know, that genre of music that's very devoid of any sort of thought, doesn't make anyone cry at all. You know, I'm referencing that Post Malone quote from a while ago where he said, you know, rap music doesn't make me cry. I don't know. I haven't heard any rap music of like any sort of depth or, you know, lyrical quality or anything like that. So, you know, balls in your court, Posty. Yeah, not great.
I mean, Motley Crue didn't make me cry, so, you know, I don't know.
I'm just going to save that for there. Anyways, I'll do the plugs really quickly. 2020 AF playlist, 2021 AF playlist. People really like that. I'm glad we're getting good feedback from that. But it's in the podcast description or in the description of the YouTube videos for this clip, but also any clip we post, essentially, we'll have that. So check that out, 2021 AF on Spotify. Check out our bonus episodes. People like the bonus episodes. They're in our podcast description, in our podcast history. So if you go back into previous episodes or just check through YouTube. Bonus episodes we've done recently on Daft Punk, Doom, Caro Caro Bonito, The State of Music 2021, all great. And then make sure you're supporting Audioface by liking us on Twitter or Instagram, liking our stuff on Twitter and Instagram. And make sure you follow us on YouTube as well. Subscribe to us, youtube.com/audiofacepod, because we are publishing so many things on there. So make sure you check that out. And thank you, Peter, for editing this. Peter at Dead Music Productions. That's deadmusic666 on Instagram. Love how I say that every single time on a Sunday. That's not doing great for my chances of getting into heaven, which were already super high. So let's go into the news.
Let's go to one Paris Français to one James Harden and Lil Baby. So they had an incident, a little run-in over there with some herb.
You want me to walk through it?
Yeah, please, because okay. I can't do it the straight face. I'm going to start laughing too much.
Yeah, so Lil Baby was taking part in Paris, France for New York Fashion Week, which, you know, as one does, basketball player, rapper, fashion. No, that's
good. The two go hand in hand.
No, I mean, I'm not, even like non-sarcastically, they really do.
Exactly, always goes
and have for decades. And there's like, we're not making a point about that. Not that's bad. It just like, you know, literally does. In fact, I like that that's kind of gone to other sports now, or like, people do walk-ups in sports, and like you get to see like all the athletes, like really wild outfits.
Like the NHL is starting to do that now, and you get dudes walking into press conferences with bucket hats now. I'm like, respect.
Yeah, so it's good that we do this podcast so much. It's good that athletes, surprise, we're doing a sports podcast now. Oh no, it's good that athletes are able to express themselves and you know, be whoever they are. You know, athletes and artists. I think that's fair. Which is interesting because Lil Baby and James Harden were, well, half of those two were arrested in Paris for possession of cannabis, which is really funny to me.
The herb.
The main reason it's funny to me is because both of them were there. Two men were stopped by law enforcement officials at around 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. local time. The cops said they smelled marijuana. And James Harden can be heard saying, it's okay, and I don't understand in the video. Meanwhile, he's just getting searched. Lil Baby is getting actually arrested. And there's video, I'm unable to like find it right now, probably because it was taken down by Harden's handlers. But there was a lot of video going up about basically Harden was out in the corner just like not really helping Lil Baby with anything. Lil Baby was taking all the heat for all the drugs that was going on.
It's beautiful.
Of course, France being this beautiful walled garden in which marijuana never goes into the country whatsoever. No one in the country has ever consumed cannabis, ever at all. Doesn't happen. And so this would be a really big major breach of that. That was the sarcasm, by the way. That's where it comes in. Paris is still a little bit slower to get on their like cannabis laws and getting used to it. But and Lil Baby was the update is this isn't one of those we'll get you back ASAP kind of situations where Joe Biden has to mediator here. No, it's already solved. Lil Baby's been freed. You know, standard apologies might be like a little slap on the wrist thing because he's a celebrity.
Yeah. Of course.
But like, wow.
It's just like, crazy.
The best part about this is that the NBA recently made it so they're no longer going to like negatively impact you for cannabis showing up on drug tests. All right. Mm-hmm. So like if James Harden has this arrest, like you could take it on the chin, buddy. Like this week, you can now handle it. It's good. You're straight.
You're
what's
good to
going
go,
on?
Yo.
Show up for your homies.
Ride out
right?
for his homies.
Literally.
You don't want to be in a car. Now you know if your friend of James Harden's like, I can't roll with him all the time because I don't know if he's going to get my back or not. He might snitch, you know?
Or at least make sure that's like a clean rental car and you've done like a whole search, the entire thing, like enterprise bumper to bumper whole deal, if you're ever going to deal with that at all.
Oh, man, that's beautiful. All right, moving on. First album review of the day. We have Vince Staples, self-titled Vince Staples. It's 10 songs, 22 minutes long. His first album since FM, which came out 2018, if I'm correct. 2019?
Yeah, it was 18, yes.
18,
and,
okay, cool.
And even FM was like also small 22 project. Songs, very small project. I would even call it a drop at this time. But boy, am I questioning the definition of drop with this project, let's say.
Yeah.
Traditionally, we've been like,
this would normally be a drop, but I would, I want to change this to the name of a project.
Traditionally, the hard separation between a drop and an album has been runtime, essentially. That a drop is roughly under 35 minutes and an album's over 35 minutes. And that it was acknowledging that in a drop, you could still have a fully like thought out project, but you could do it in a short amount of time. But this is in importance for like Vince Staples' career, I would say. It feels like an album in that it is a self-titled project. It is something where he is kind of sort of being a little bit autobiographical, you know, like in a Vince Staples way, where it's like a little bit irreverent. He's not really saying that much. He's not like spilling everything. He's a little bit to himself in his own way. But it's definitely like more of an autobiographical record. It's one that he's taken an opportunity to go back towards, because the last time he did that was Summertime 06, came out in 2015. And Vince Staples, Vince has changed a lot since then. But yeah, with this, you get 10 really great, you know, most of them are songs. I'd say there's like one or two interludes in the middle. So like you even have 8 songs, it's even less, but they're all like 2 minutes.
Cause you have The Apple in the Tree and Lakewood Mall. It's hilarious. Two like interlude tracks in the middle of it.
Yeah. And we'll also just say,
Does he go to the round one or whatever the bowling alley is at Lakewood Mall and turn up or what?
I mean, the round one's kind of new. If you're an old head, the McDonald's has been there for a minute, and people also turn up at the Costco because it has like an outdoor area at the back.
Dude, Costco is huge.
No, you want to know the thing people turn up at is for all the Long Beach heads in the podcast, we're going to get to the album review in literally 30 seconds. But the Pacific Theater Mall, end of an era, because I think that's gone. But like, that's where the hood shit happened.
That Pacific Theater is wild.
Yeah,
flat-ass movie theater. I remember it was a theater that had like flat seats and stuff. So if you were short, you were like, well, I can't see a film here.
Oh no, it's the Spirit Airlines of movie theaters. Absolutely. Like Spirit and Harkins is a night and day goddamn difference. Like it's no contest.
Dead ass.
Anywho's. This is an album that we're doing. It's an album review that we're doing. And we have a bias towards Vince Staples and generally liking him as an artist. And we're going to dance around that because there's...
Staples, we did that when we did FM, because in FM we had some issues with it too. Some floof that was there.
Yeah, but also I think we did the big intro about the duration of the album because like given it's so short, there's... No, he didn't leave any room for error. There's absolutely no filler. Like, there's really no mistakes, I almost want to say. Like, there's no sort of like faltering here or there because everything is just so distilled down to literally only like what makes a cohesive project. And usually I can say that about 40 or 45 minute albums, but like, this is done in 22 minutes and it's like executed near flawlessly.
Yeah, I think if there's a couple of things I want to say. So, but the thing with Vince Staples is he's had a bunch of different styles of production grow out throughout his career, right? So you have the harder stuff in Summertime 06 because you have North North on that. You have a couple other songs that are really hard into that in general. And he says that it's like two different, he's like it's a double album in a way because it's like cut in half, but that's a different story. With Big Fish there, you have a lot of like electronic stuff. You have some of my favorite themes, production help with Sophie and a bunch of others. But on this, you have super rip,
dead homies,
like party people and stuff. It goes hard. But anyways, on this album, it's Kenny Beats doing all of the work. Who's, you know, he did a bunch of EDM work as a DJ, and now he's doing a lot of rap stuff. So I always like it when he gets to partner up with a really good producer because it makes me it for me fills out the whole project into its entirety. So then it gets whatever concept he has an idea for, whatever it is, it really encapsulates everything when he gets up, links up with somebody who can really go hard on production. Think of it like a 21 Savage and a Metro Boomin. You know, it's like that perfect combination that it's hard to find in trap and in rap, hip hop in general, because there's just too much. There's a lot going on with a lot of other artists and stuff, but it's the wholeheartedness of it, I do enjoy. But anyways, going into the album, starts off with Are You With That, which is kind of a slower song to start it off with. And it kind of gets you into a theme of this album is going to be a bit different compared to a lot of his earlier works. It's going to be more of that Trap and Beast style, a bit slower down, a bit more of a personal thing, which he said that's how the album's going to be. It's going to be more of a reflection of myself and everything, which is good. So it's a different thing that we like to talk about. We like artists to do something different. After that track, you have Law of Averages, which is a single that we reviewed. Music video goes hard on it. Really, really enjoy the song. One of my favorite songs to come out of the year so far. If that ass shit, got the squabble, now he cash his clay. But them Hurricane Carter, you know I'm gonna catch a case. But Lil Wayne Carter, would I call my 38? Kiss your baby in the face if you play with where I stay. Bad, yeah, down the app, hold you average. Louis bag, Gucci bag, you got baggage. I will never give my money to a bad. Played the shit out of it. Yeah. Dan and I both.
It's interesting because like it's not a conventional banger, but it is.
No,
it's because it's very slow. It's like it's something you would dip in from like the experimental bag, as it were, right? Like experimental music, like fully as a genre, like not even experimental rap, like just the sound of it. So like Kenny Beats, great job on that. I've never been too like down on Kenny Beats, but definitely through some friends, I've gotten to like pay attention to a lot of the stuff he does more. And so great work on that. Law of Averages just knocked out of the park. And it's not just that. There's songs like, I'm not going to go into all the ones after that, but all the ones after that are produced to a similar caliber. I see why they picked Law of Averages as a lead single, but they're all a really similar caliber.
Yeah. After Law of Averages, you have Sundown Town, which I think gets more into your more heavy rap, more trappy-ish style on there. So stuff that you'll be more familiar with Vince with, but it's still not your normal average trap. There's still a lot of other stuff within the production. And it's almost as if he's just, Vince is kind of, I want to say he's taking a step back, but he's like more chill. He's more relaxed. It sounds like in his vocal delivery and everything.
It's storytelling. Sure, Vince. There's like,
yeah.
But that point you're getting at where he's a little more sure of himself, like it's a really subtle thing, but there's a confidence in his voice that's different from now as opposed to Summertime 06, Hell Can Wait, Vince Staples.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
There's a kind of like an arc between, Screen Door off of Hell Can Wait, I want to believe, and Sundown Town and The Shining more broadly, because they're similar in subject matter. Screen Door is a lot more in depth. It's like longer than any song on this album, but thematically they're similar, but it just like the delivery that Vince Staples had, it just is more distilled and delivered right there, and that career trajectory growth is happened really quickly.
That's for sure. Yeah, after you just talk about Shining a little bit. After that, you have Taking Trips, which I like that song a lot. It's just funny. It's just funny to me a little bit, where it's like kind of on the nose with some stuff and everything. This is the Vince I really love, where you're like, he's like making jokes about hard shit. He keeps going on and on about other stuff. It's just, it's fun. And then talks about some stuff of, naturally, some Long Beach stuff and other things. If you're a local like us, it's really nice. Like, we get all these
littered with Easter eggs,
stuff,
yeah.
So it's hilarious. That's a fun track. I listen to that a lot.
Yeah. You get Take Me Home, which is a really nice trap and be like fully Vince Staples thing. And I think it's been, you know, not fully unfamiliar territory, because Vince Staples has done some, you know, I want to say features. Yeah, that's right. Features with different artists, and has definitely dipped into trap and be and doing that more. But definitely what we wanted to see was, yeah, can Vince Staples sort of show that emotional depth and range? And there's definitely, you get that the most in Take Me Home, I would say.
Going south, blower on the seat. With the windows down, music loud, let them hear the beat. When it's quiet out, they hear the sound of those who rest in peace, trying to drown the violence out. But let them say that they won't beef. And we riding out, finding out where them niggas.
And you get it throughout in other places where you get references to his personality and like why the way he is the way he is. And the way that I appreciate that stem from Vince Staples is like, you know, usually pop artists, men and women, I'm talking like Ariana Grande to Drake, will take an hour and a half to talk about their feelings, their emotions, their relationships. And Vince Staples did his life in 22 minutes. It's ridiculous.
It gets straight to the point. It's blunt. It's what he wants it to be. I like that. It's concise and cohesive, which is good. Because a lot of those albums, like we get those 8 hour long albums or stuff that are just, they're unbearable. So it's nice that a lot of the good rap albums and trap albums that we've been getting this year have been starting to be shorter and more to the point and everything, which is good. And a lot of albums in general too, have been pretty short this year that we have enjoyed. So it's a good a trend that I've been seeing this year. I have to take me, oh, you have Lil Fade, which is more, that's, I guess, the old head Vince Staples. That'd be like the more the most traditional Vince sounding song on the whole album, but it's still good and it's still short. It's only 2 minutes 12 seconds, so, and that's all the tracks are, you know, all under 3 minutes. So it's a bit different in that too, because a lot of his tracks can be 3.5 minutes long, 4 minutes long, even depending on it. So it's a change too. Then you have Lakewood Mall, which is in the last dinner interlude, and then you have. Ship cuz, tell him come and zip cuz, hundred on his headstone, homies call me rich cuz, flip cuz, candles cuz they miss cuz, I ain't got a disc cuz, you know what it is cuz, dog ways baby cuz I'm park raised, we can do it late night, we can do it broad day, love that
phenomenal
track.
Phenomenal. One of the best album enders I've heard this year, for sure. I'm not even gonna get into all the references to my immediate neighborhood, to like street corners my life has changed.
You talk about the church's chicken, I was like, holy shit. Yeah.
I've seen shootings. I've had full-on mental meltdowns, and I've deposited money all on that same street corner. Because there's that Union Bank ATM, don't sleep.
There's a Union Bank over there. That's
So Deep State Long Beach. There's no Union Bank over there because it's the most inconvenient bank ever. There's just an ATM. There's just an ATM sitting by a 7-Eleven and a La Pizza Loca and a Church's Chicken right in the hood. Have fun. Yeah. That's your bank.
It's just funny, a South Street. Like, you just go up South Street, like just 3 blocks up, and you got the Cerritos Mall, you know, a couple blocks down, and then you got wildness on. It's just funny.
I will say that's a bold expansion of the hood to go all the way to South and Bellflower, but that's neither here nor there. Hashtag no politics. It's just a banger. That's the banger on this album, yeah. More so than like Law of Averages, just like naturally.
It's a really good track.
Phenomenal.
Really good track. And this event said too, when I was listening, I heard him say some stuff. He said, Law of Averages is a single just to get you an idea of what I wanted this to sound like. It's not the best track on the album because I don't want to show my whole hand, but the music video, everything, it gets you an idea of what I want to be said and want to put out there. So, and he's definitely right in that. Fantastic album though, overall. Really enjoy it. I'm thoroughly impressed with it because after FM, I was just interested to see what he would do because he takes his time between projects. He does a lot of different features. I mean, he was featured on a ton of work over the past couple of years, but it's nice to have a full project of himself. And yeah, it's great. And he has another one coming out this year too, correct?
Yes. We, at least in his like press cycle for this, he was saying that there's going to be 2 albums coming out this year, and at least makes a lot more sense. Not only because like we usually have our standard, you know, audio face checklist of don't make an album too quickly. Well, this album project is very short. So you can say you made an album, say it's like 2 parts or like whatever. And 1 part's 22 minutes. The other part's like another 22 minutes or maybe more, maybe less even. And that works. That can still be a complete body of work. I'm interested to see that because I think since we've gotten like deep introspective vents, we might get like experimental banger vents or something like that. At least I'm really looking forward to that. But wow. I guess what was the other thing I was going to say is that I think Vince Staples is the rap artist right now who has most mastered the art of keeping you wanting more. Like to the likes of Kendrick Lamar, where it's just like, where the fuck is he? Like, what? Why has he got more? Right? Because like with this album, very rarely can I very cleanly say, I want more of this. I need more of this after listening to a record. Usually I'm like, this will hold me. I'm good. Mm-hmm. Like a Gorillaz album will hold me for like 5 years or so. All right. And this will hold me for 5 years. I'm going to be listening to this like song and album for 5 years or so. But I want more sooner, and it's not because the artist did anything wrong. They did everything right, and like try not to dick right here, but I don't think I've ever really said or felt that way about a project on Audioface before. So, like, phenomenal job, top to bottom. Can't really complain about anything. Arbitrary scale this week, because we always do arbitrary scales in Audioface, because if we gave it a score out of 1 to 10, people would get all under mentions, and I don't really feel like dealing with that. Our comments are really great right now. Don't want to make it worse. So this week it's going to be Tour de France bystander signs. Was it the Tour de France that bystander sign happened, or was it a different cycling race, actually?
No, that was literally the tour. It was the one of the tour, dude. So and one of my favorite cyclists, Tony Martin, went down, took down half his goddamn team. It was a disaster.
Yeah, so whatever the sign is, I guess the larger sign that causes the worst accident is better, because it's Audioface. So this is gonna be like the Neon Museum in Vancouver that I went to, Free the Dead First Nations folks, and they had, because it's literally built on their land, and it's a neon museum, and so if you put one of those neon signs on the bike path directly, just like clock out good 10 or 15 of those cyclists, beat all those like little stupid French village city or village ordinances about like how big your signs can be in front of your establishment. This is America. Big neon sign. Sorry.
This is a solid mode. This has happened before, actually, a cycling race. This is a motorbike with a sign telling you how far you have of the group behind you, because you're like solo breakawaying, and it gives you you have 2 minutes on the group, and that guy actually drops a sign, hits you, and you crash. That's happened before.
That's annoying. It's I mean, it has happened in all sports where like the ref or like the official people accidentally interfere. Like, it just has to happen. But
it's 10 times worse there, because you're like crashing on your bike at 40 miles an hour, and you've got rash everywhere, your shit's broken, and you lose a lot of money and broken bones, and yeah, it's beautiful poetry in motion. Anyways, I'm gonna let Dan take on this one.
Moving on. So MF Doom, friend of my wall, can't really see that in this frame, but whatever, has been posthumously honored with a street in a different Long Beach. This is a perfect segue for these two albums, actually,
right?
But yeah, the one block between East Hudson, on East Hudson Street, between Riverside Boulevard and Long Beach Road, was organized by Patrick Graham, who was a former classmate of Doom's, who attended Long Beach High School with the late rapper. And so, is it going to be, I'm trying to figure out if the street name is going to be like officially like Daniel Dumoulin Boulevard or something like that.
Or just RMF Doom Boulevard.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool, though. You gotta go over there and take a picture of the sign while wearing the mask.
The idea of you in New York is just a funny thing I've never thought of, that I don't think will ever happen, but yeah, that'd be cool.
I mean, it will happen at some point. It's gonna happen at some point.
Out of obligation, probably. Like, you probably wouldn't willingly do
exactly.
That.
I'm going to go for Audioface obligation and take your damn picture at that sign. I'm back. I'm going to Canada after that, just walking up. This is too much city for me.
I will update and say that they haven't decided on the name, and so therefore they don't have a sign yet. So maybe it's I hope it's spelled in all caps. I don't know how New York does their street names there, but you got a lot of names to choose from. You could really do one for like the real heads, like, what is King Ghidra Way? Like, what is, like, no one's gonna understand that.
What is Victor Von Way?
Victor Von Drive.
What is the cross street? What is the cross street of King Ghidra and Quasimodo?
Oh man. But yeah, that's cool. We'll check that out once that happens. Yeah. Meanwhile, on the album side.
Yeah. We have a next album review. We have IDK. We have You See For Yourself, 17 songs, 43 minutes long. I hate trying to read that album title out loud every time, because it's all capsed and collapsed together. So it's just everything I love in music times 10. Also, Vince did make his album all caps, so that's one Dean point. So sorry, I gotta stay true to my word on that. I don't care who you are.
Fair, balanced, and unafraid.
Anyway, so it's
just kind of, for starters, it's a different
approach to the same topic of Vince Staples' album. It's a very different approach, but kind of the same idea of everything about introspective, looking into yourself, what does one have of feelings and other stuff and whatnot, but a completely different approach to it. Exactly, yeah, as you were saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, it starts off with a little interlude because every rapper likes to put out an old phone number of somebody's, or maybe one of their old phone numbers or of a burner phone or something. So it's 301-809-1821, which you definitely know is like
see you in the fun
301 half. Is definitely LA area code. So
wait, is that no? That's 310.
Or is that 310? Oh, well, I missed that. Never mind.
301 area code is, according to Google, well, we'll banter and I'll figure it out, but it is Maryland.
It's Maryland. Oh, awkward.
Yeah. So
I that's what happens when you collapse shit together. My brain doesn't do it, and I get my dyslexia over there, and I'm like, wait, 310. Anyways,
oh, niggas talking about his area codes. You know, it's an introspective record.
Does he have a tattoo of 301 on him? Then you know he's gone down the whole rabbit hole of it.
Take a drink every time you hear a voicemail during this rap album.
You're gonna die if you do that.
I don't mean to like make IDK the example here unnecessarily, but rappers need to find a new way to tell stories besides voicemail messages. There's a lot of narrative methods to do this besides voicemail messages. But yeah, the album itself, generally, like you go into it with like Santa Monica Boulevard, and it's like IDK sort of like adapted trap and B. Sometimes it leans more trap, sometimes it leads more like neopop R&B kind of style thing.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's definitely like an adapted thing. The last time we reviewed an IDK project was 2019's Is He Real? And it was a 35 minute 14 project where it did the same thing, where it was kind of in a fast paced switching kind of way, doing trap and B and then trap. And it was, you know, sometimes disjointed, but like
it felt super disjointed to me when I listened to it, because I wanted to be a little bit more cohesive. Like I prefer if you do like a top half of your half of your trap and your second half of your kind of more neo pop way, because then it doesn't feel too much of a roller coaster. And this happened in this album a bit too, because there's some stuff in here I really enjoyed, and other things I was like, well, you need to. It doesn't make sense in the way that it's put down.
Yeah,
it's kind of a general problem I have with it, but it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, like Santa Monica Boulevard and the contrast between that and Dogs Don't Lie seems like very rough, because Santa Monica Boulevard is like very hard, then Dogs Don't Lie is kind of like a trap and B thing. So that's just like going to be a thing you just get and deal with IDK. But like the quality of the music is perfectly fine, because you get a Prada Da Bing with IDK and Young Thug.
Yeah, who that? That my little bitch don't move that. Ass might break a whole crew now. Now it's time to get a whole new bag. Yeah. Milk in the game. I want everything from hundreds to change. Everything, nigga. House is insane. Glass porch, you can sleep in the rain. I forgot to tell you that the kids say they want a private plane. I forgot to tell you that that girl say she need a part of the pain.
Young Thug always delivers, honestly. 30 minutes or less.
Young Thug and Futures, man. Jesus Christ. We can't say it enough here. His own work is okay, but him on Futures just hits different.
Yeah. He's just phenomenal at it.
Seriously.
Way better than Offset's feature. And I think I'm not going to even bother with like Offset's feature. It's not great. I will say it's funny how, you know, pregnancy aside, it's funny how Offset's trying so hard to gas up like Culture 3. He's trying to make Straighten work really hard. I try to see him on a late night talk show trying to explain what Straighten means. It's like, no, so you see, when it's nothing straightening until you do the straightening. And it's rocks. Love it. But Prada Da Bang, I think, is a really good mix of IDK sort of like weirder, more experimental sounds, the things he would like tend to do with like a production that you would have in his music, with, you know, like a more mainstream kind of approach to rap and things like that. So it really works out, actually.
I actually like that track a lot. I felt you have Shoot My Shot with Offset, which I actually don't mind the production of a trap song, but Offset's such a shitty, he's a bad rapper, man. he's not a good feature. Anything he does, he touches, just turns into, it's like when you know there's a cartoon where you touch a plant and it just dies immediately. That's Offset.
The only one in Migos who can rap is Takeoff, legitimately.
Seriously.
Like the only reason I go back to play the new Migos album just like in my free time is because Takeoff has bars and that's about it. And it's not even like that much. It's just like, well, Takeoff's in it and Takeoff has more songs in this than otherwise. So at least there's that. And then you have the elephant in the room, which is Red featuring West Side Gun, MF Doom, and J Electronica. And
what?
In the lead up to the song, IDK was just like, I am by far most excited for people to hear Red.
Shows for fans on social media, Wikipedia. Man, these hoes getting greedier, getting needier, doing stunts for the media, clout is serious. Bad bitch, yeah, but the mind state is hideous. Brain like encyclopedia.
It's an experience. To say the least, it's an experience. If you alluded to the podcast earlier where I told Dan, I was like, there was two songs I wish you were here to see my emotions. The first one was Post Malone's single Motley Crue, because it was just of me dying on the floor laughing. And then the next one was Red, of me just literally every 3 seconds saying, what the fuck is this? What the fuck? Whoa, what the hell? Why did you put Gucci suit in here, and then MF Doom has a small like a 2 second cameo in here. It's wild.
Doom is walking through the Rockefeller Plaza like studios at NBC and accidentally walks in the door and is like, whoop, this is Saturday Night Live. I was going to Katie Couric. My bad. Sorry. Leaving now.
I get to see Doom walking into a random studio and just going on the mic to say three words and then walks away and then never comes back, exits the door. Everybody's like, was that Doom? Maybe it was a Doom. Who knows?
Yeah, you're like, what the fuck?
Let's keep it in there. Yeah, we're going to keep it in there. Leave it.
Yeah, I really want to know the story of why Doom gave not a bar. A bar requires four lines, three lines. Why he gave three lines to this? And, you know, maybe like I'll give it the most serious answer because I don't know exactly what the story is behind it. Maybe it was like not fully finished. And they just decided to create a motif around it. But like it feels like a sample. Like he could have just sampled like some random lines from an MF Doom song and thrown it into the album, right? Like it just doesn't really make sense. And West Side Gun and J Electronica, like, you know, it's like Mount Rushmore for old heads. The song itself works out well enough. Once I get over my like little Doom thing, and like it's a cool kind of thing. Like on second or third listen, it bothered me a little less. But the first time I'm like, you threw up an MF Doom like feature on there, all right? Like I was expecting a lot more than I got. And I kept like looking my first time as I was listening to the track, and I was like looking at the get closer to like the end of the track, and I'm like, yeah, where's the rest of Doom verse? Where is that?
That's it. It's just 2 seconds. And then they just do this whole random thing at the end with the Gucci suit theme. And I'm like, that's just a randomest song in the world.
Listen.
It's so many ideas can like put into one song, it just doesn't work.
I'm sure at some point it was a great idea conceptually, but it could have been better, obviously, with like a longer, more of a Doom verse with him sort of like elaborating on that instead of like West Side Gun doing that for him. And again, like West Side Gun's perfectly fairly capable of that. Like no replacement for Doom, no one is, but West Side Gun's definitely a great rapper. So at least there's that. At least he didn't have like Gunna do it. That would have been absolute heresy. I would have been much more upset if it was like someone who actually cannot rap to Doom's caliber. So at least there's that.
This is just a thing. This is just an idea that didn't work. That's it.
Yeah. And then you have you have another feature. So I didn't like realize it's sort of feature heavy, but it's really sparsed out. And the picks you have, especially through the latter half of the album, are like some of my personal favorites. Like you have Puerto Rico with Lucky Day, which I think was really nice. Temporary Love, IDK and Sir, loving myself some Sir. And Keto with Sway Lee, Free Slim Jimmy, and Rico Nasty. I really, really liked that song. I really did.
I was going to say, I want to get to Keto because I really, really enjoyed this song, actually.
All the bad bitches come over here. All the bad bitches come over here.
Yeah. Don't put it past me. Gave you my number, it was really a text free. You be where the pussy is, I be where the cash be. I be where the check be, that's why they be checking. I'm making all these fancy bitches can't intercept me. But I'm really pretending, yeah, he think it's all love. I don't really got none, I don't care what he think, cause I never give a fuck.
Normally I don't like Sway Lee as a feature, but I actually really like him in this, which is surprising for me. Cause normally like his voice and his flow, I don't normally enjoy or anything, but it's fantastic. Yeah.
I love me some Rico Nasty, and this is a great pairing. Like,
dude, Rico Nasty was hard.
Yeah, like this, like sort of like, you know, alternative trap and B collective of artists, like your Aminés, your Sminos, your IDKs, your Rico Nasties, your Lucky Days, your Sirs. Love them. Love all of them. Keep making music together. All of your sounds together are awesome.
I think the biggest thing with those tracks too is the production is unique, especially in the way of the album too, where it stands out on its own, but it still can fit conceptually within the album too. So I think those are the big things, the takeaways from that too.
100%. And then to the rest of the album, you have, there's Hey Auntie. Gotta go to that one. Hey Auntie is like a deep, remember when I was on my way to your place earlier this week and I was like,
oh, was it Hey Auntie?
Yeah, that was the one. It's a very autobiographical story. It goes into IDK talking about a molestation incident that happened allegedly, and that's a pretty big thing, but it kind of sets up the end of the album to, I'll say this, it ends really, really well.
You have
Closure is like an ending interlude, but yeah, Hey Auntie and then Cry in Church. That whole church thing, like, it's a really good, it's not like, you know, Migos do songs that are like, you know, religious themes and about, you know, death and all this different stuff, and it's, you know, bullshit, right? But no, like, IDK has got talent. He brings his game. He brings real emotion here as well, and I really enjoyed listening to that part.
I mean, and the scene to Cry in Church too is Seven Streeter, is her feature was fantastic in this track too. Really good with her vocals and everything. The contrast between her and IDK was fantastic. Sounds good.
Yeah, I've got to get into more Seven Streeter because I've heard her a little bit, but she recently did a song with ASAP Ferg and the Beater though, so we'll think about it. More on that later.
More on that later. Even his dog, yo.
man, but yeah. So I'm not going to, for the purposes of keeping this podcast a little bit shorter than it could be, I'm not going to compare this album to Vince Staples' project that was released earlier this week on the merits of, like, you know, whether it was like better than the other or not. And I'm not really gonna like rule on it or like the whole like drop versus album kind of comparison, because this is a, by our normal things, an album, and I think it does a decent, passable, pretty good job, although not perfect job, of telling its story and getting through its stuff. There are definitely some things that are like more filler in here than others, but for an IDK product, there's less filler in here than there has been.
It a lot more than the one we reviewed 2 years ago. I think it's a lot more thought out. There's some pretty good tracks in here, and there's ideas that miss, and there's a lot of ideas that hit. So it's a step in the right direction for him, for sure. It's a decent album.
Yeah, like it. Arbitrary Scale, Tour de France bystander signs. Because we always do Arbitrary Scales and Audio Face. I'm going to give this a Dusk to Dawn, because it always is like Dale's making cameos, Tiger Woods is making cameos, so we're gonna have a Dusk to Dawn award making its cameo in Paris, France, and I like, you know, it. Just hitting someone in the face.
This is a random country's flag of nobody that is participating in the Tour de France, and the guy's just running up to the leader with that flag. It's like some, like, I don't know, insert random country here of Uzbekistan flag or something. A dude's running up to a dude who's definitely from Slovakia, riding up in the yellow jersey. You're like, well, what are you doing with that flag, dude? Okay. And then the rider's having to punch him out of the way, and the flag is like caught up in his bars and everything. It's just a whole disaster.
Real
poetry.
I was thinking of that flag being Antarctica. Like Antarctica having like cyclist racers. It's like going for it.
Why not?
This is their first chance, the Tour de France. It was looking so well for them, and then not. Nope.
Nope.
Wrong.
So, more into the Free Britney story, because every time we record a podcast, like, it's just a week of new shit that keeps happening all the damn time. So apparently her Britney Spears court-appointed attorney, he resigned from the conservatorship case. So I guess he's been representing Britney for, what, 13 years or so?
But he resigned. Since the conservatorship started, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been about 13 years ago. So it's definitely not a surprise, because she was saying like she was really displeased with all the legal representation. So that she was saying like, hey, he failed to inform me that her right to request a termination of her conservatorship. So there's a lot of stuff that he was being really shady towards Britney. So it's not like a surprise to anyone that he resigned, because she was probably going to or do something to fire him or whatever. I don't know how much power she has, but all the stuff of the press, all the bad press that was going out against him to probably save his own career, it's a good idea to resign. But basically, still free Britney, because this shit's just everything that keeps getting dug up, all of the more information, everything that we keep getting is just worse and worse. Of just, wow, man, it's brutal.
Yeah, it's like malpractice and malpractice one after another. And yeah, if you want to even kind of keep your career at this point, it's like almost just what you have to do to just say like, well, like, okay, this was my job and it was clearly a mess. So like in good conscience, since this is being made increasingly more public by the day, I'm going to like recuse myself, remove myself from this entirely. So
exactly.
Yeah.
It just sucks because, you know, she should have control of her life. Christ.
It shouldn't be.
Male ego and male abuse, man. It never fucking ceases. More on that later.
To amaze and disgust me. So, moving on.
Moving on to our third album of the day. We have Twin Shadows, self-titled Twin Shadow. It is 10 songs, 31 minutes long. And this is a very interesting album. Because going into Audioface this year a lot, we've had a lot of indie that we reviewed last year that we enjoyed a lot. It was fantastic. We have a lot of women killing it in indie this year as well. We had a lot. This is a very interesting album because it's very different. It's still, I would consider it kind of an indie, like in the indie scene, but it is very, very unique in how, what it does. There's a lot of different influences, a lot of like Afrobeats influences, a lot of funk influences, a lot of other things that pop in that no one really uses an indie that much, or very rarely. Someone maybe tap into it for a track or two, but not a whole album's worth of it. And Twin Shadow does, and I really enjoy this album. I had to listen to it probably about three times to really get a grasp of everything, because there's a lot of different sounds, a lot of different takes on or approaches of music that I haven't really thought about much, or I didn't know what it would sound like to me or anything. So I wanted to get as much in-depth in as we could in the 2 days leading up to us recording this podcast. But it's fantastic. So first track of it, it's Alamania?
Yes.
I think I'm saying that right, because yes. Sean can't read words.
No, that's you. And in this podcast, you are up to me in pronunciations, or we might be even considering the you're up to me because I messed up Nancy Pelosi. So but Alamania, it really gets you into the album, because it starts like, oh, this is an acoustic thing, really interesting. Oh no, this is not an acoustic thing.
And that's what happens with a lot of the tracks that he puts in this album, right? It's they start off as one thing and you think they're going to be one thing, and it completely morphs into these different other tracks. It's almost like, you know, I call it the Weird Fishes effect, which is one of my favorite Radiohead songs, where it starts off one way and you think it's going to just keep going, but then it just blooms into this beautiful masterpiece. And you're like, whoa, was not expecting that for a track. And that was a majority of the works on this album, which is another thing that I have to give props to too, because it's not easy to do that. And especially it can get a little overwhelming at times for certain artists that do that a lot, but for this in the context of the album, and granted, because it was about half an hour long, a little over half an hour, it works for a lot of the tracks that does that. But anyway, so yeah, Alamania at the end, it like turns into this funk beat, almost like rockish song towards the end a little bit too. So it just morphs into that. After that, you have Sugar Cane, which I like this track a lot. It's fun. It's like fast paced, upbeat. It has a lot of like almost Latin influences and stuff too within there. Kind of the guitar work reminds me a little bit of Santana and some other stuff that I've heard throughout my life. And it's a really cool spin on some different indie songs and ideas that I've heard throughout the year.
Yeah.
I was gonna say the Santana-y
sort of like vibe goes into Johnny and Johnny. Those are spelled differently. Like the Johnny is spelled differently than the Johnny. You'll look at the title of the song and you'll figure it out.
Escape Dallas County, we'll make it, I swear. This city's too quiet. Let's get to work. I know that you're tired. Let's go anyway. Johnny Rock, Johnny Roll, Johnny's taking care of my soul. Johnny Star, Johnny Gold, Johnny taking care of my soul. Johnny Rock, Johnny Roll, Johnny's taking care of my soul.
But it almost has like a surf rock kind of sound that I think goes really nicely with Sugar Cane right before it.
Mm-hmm. And there's, you can also hear like some influences even from Sublime and other things too. There's a lot of different sounds and stuff that, again, that's not something you get a lot in indie. In indie, you kind of have a true sound of like that bedroom pop thing or a bunch of other works or like electro indie and stuff, but you can all like pick it out and say, okay, yeah, this belongs in that. But with this, there's just, it's never really solidified in like one specific category, which I like because it makes you very unique. Like a Johnny Johnny is like this almost like Caribbean beat that you can go and just like dance to, but then you have like some traditional guitar work and drums in the background, but then you have a lot of different beats and stuff too that go on with it, and it just makes it fun to dance to. Fantastic track. Really like it too.
Yeah, the variety really doesn't stop with like, but like it's unlike, so we just reviewed the IDK album more recently, You See For Yourself, and we talked about kind of like an IDK thing where he tries to do a lot of really nice experimental things that work really well, but the downside is that sometimes when you put those together in an album, they clash too much because you're going from one different thing to the other.
Yeah,
to contrast that with Twin Shadow and how he's constructed his fifth album here, You get songs that are like one or two or three that kind of fit a motif that can kind of go together that then blend into the album's broader crescendo moment. So Get Closer, Is There Any Love, then kind of continue into slowly getting into a more of a funk kind of thing out of Jolly and Johnny. Kind of like how Alamania kind of eventually kind of grows into. So I guess that could be like kind of the grounding nature of this album. It's sort of indie, neo-funk, neo-pop soul, but not less neo-pop because it's not really trap influence, but like neo-soul for sure, but definitely still a lot of indie influences. Really nice.
Yeah. Is There Any Love? I really enjoy that track. It might be my favorite on this album. Because I heard this a little bit before too on like my indie channels and stuff, where I was like, whoa, this is different. It has like a really nice like 1-2 step within the drums and it gets you sucked into it. And then you have a lot of different kind of odds and end sounds kind of throughout. You have this really fun guitar part in the middle. It's just all heavily modified with it, but it's just really good track.
Right after that, Gated Windows is my favorite.
It's a very good one too.
It's such a perfect song. Like 3 minutes, 20 seconds, just a nice sort of bassy, deeper sort of soul thing to it.
I love that bass line a lot. So I remember I first heard it at the intro. I was like, man, that bass line goes hard. I wish he did a little bit different on the vocals of it because I wanted a little bit more explored with the bass, maybe a little bit heavier or something, but within the context it works for it.
Yeah. Love both of those songs. And then, yeah, it just kind of keeps going with like Modern Man and Lone Star. Modern Man, you get a little bit of like a slower thing going on, which is good because like you don't want the album to continue even if like a good streak for like at its constant thing. And then Modern Man mm-hmm. leads into a slightly more up-paced Lone Star that is still kind of reflective and thoughtful. And you get a little bit of those like acoustic flares here and there, but it's mm-hmm. very far away from an acoustic sounding song. Not a good or bad thing as a judgment, just acoustic as a quality of it. But it manages to incorporate some of like the surf rock nature, the kind of floaty sense that you got in the beginning of the album with this really nice sort of like acoustic strum thing to it. And you get some like little mm-hmm. like trumpet flares in the background too. It's really nice construction.
Yeah. The last two tracks you have Brown Sugar and I Want to Be Here in parentheses Shotgun. But they're both, I think there's a good ending track. I Want to Be Here to kind of wrap it up maybe a little bit more, maybe add another track to it or put maybe switch them or something, because I felt like it was a little leaving you wanting a little bit more, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But that might be the only, my one nitpicky part of the album is I wish it ended a little bit more of like a crisp tone, but it's personal preference. But Brown Sugar, I Want to Be Here, both very good tracks. They have, more of that, like, I would say Latin influence on the drums and everything. And yeah, it's overall, I really enjoy this album. Kind of pleasantly surprised with it. So I heard a little bit before going into this, but I didn't know like the whole context of the album, what everything would sound like. But yeah, fantastic work, especially in a genre that we have been consistently getting very, very good albums from, very good projects from the past 2-3 years. It can now start to feel a little crowded of, okay, what else is going to be here that can stand out on its own? And this is definitely a project where like there's nothing else that could really sound similar to this. So very good.
Yeah, it's a project all on its own. Very good job. We love to see it on Audio Phase. Absolutely.
Love it. Exactly.
Arbitrary scale. It's going to be
arbitrary scales because normal scales don't make sense and they're bullshit. So this week's is Tour de France Bystander Signs because Ale Omi Opie decided to like kill off my favorite cycling team. So, you know, thanks, guys. This is... This is a guy running. I think he doesn't do it anymore, but this is a guy who used to run up mountains in a devil costume and roll up with like the devil pitchfork and literally like shove it in dudes' faces, like running up a whole climb with them. And he did this for like 30 years. So you'd see pictures like Glare de Lamond with him. Yeah. This dude would do this like from like the 80s of like Greg LeMond and Bernard Eno all the way up to like Chris Froome nowadays. It used to be like this one old German dude with the fucking devil costume running at you every time. It was funny. Never came, he never tricked anybody. Packing, he never honestly. Did anything bad. So, you know, that's why it's like, you know what? That's how good this album is. He didn't hurt any cyclists.
Wow. That's good. This is going to be... you know when you're driving and they have one of those like bright new like LED signs at night?
Yeah.
It was like LED billboards. Like, oh, we get more money out of it. We can change it every 15 seconds. It's like you don't have to get a guy on top.
It's those random Priuses with like a giant slab of LEDs on top, right?
Oh, man. Yeah.
We all know that if you live anywhere in Southern California, you've seen several of those at least.
NorCal especially too.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, absolutely terrible. For vision, but absolutely great album. And so we're gonna do a little quick hits, because we always like to end Audio Face on like a little bit of a fun note. Not sure how fun this is, but I will say this: one of the funnier things I've saw in like late breaking before we start Audio Face is a post that noted little bitch Daystar Peterson, also known as Tory Lanez, did on Instagram, where he is just sitting in front of a chalkboard and the word canceled is there. And then canceled is crossed out. And underneath that is an equal sign. An equal sign. You learned that in early elementary school arithmetic. And underneath that says can sell records. So you see here, the joke, the idea is that Tory Lanez here is not canceled. You see, he can't be canceled, but he can sell records. He can also shoot women in the feet and then like try to hide around and do some like bullshit about it for an entire year.
Can we just nominate him again?
Absolutely. Of course, like, we can do two.
Can picks. We just like that's you know, he was running on one yellow card, right? So we got to go up. The ref gets to give him two yellows and he just goes reach that back pocket and he's like, you know, he's coming and he goes up. He's just like, please, no, it wasn't me. I didn't mean to do it. I'm so sorry. It's like the ref's like, get out of here, dog. Pack up your bags. Go home.
I mean, he's not at like DJ Khaled, like put like three nominations in, not a little bitch, but like, I mean. Let's also just like make the case here. Let's because I always like to do audio face fair balanced unafraid. Let's say he can sell records, he can sell albums, because I have even made the point in previous avenues that cancel mm-hmm. culture does not exist, because the people who are quote unquote canceled, they're still able to live successful careers more or less, especially when they're celebrities.
Or they do it, or they get even more money because of all the free publicity that they get from it too. That happens a lot as well.
Yeah. But you go on the Wikipedia and you check a couple of Daystar Peterson's recent, Not a Little Bitch Daystar Peterson's recent outfits. His last studio album, if you want to call it that, Daystar, which was released in September that we didn't review. We did talk about it kind of quickly, as I say, you don't have to. I do remember that actually, because we listened to the first song. It was just a denial of everything he definitely did. And it peaked number 6 on the Canadian charts. It peaked number 4 in US R&B and hip hop, and number 4 in rap, but 10 overall. Which is down from his previous records, which, like, you know, Chicks Tape 5 got a 2 in the United States overall. Love Me Now got a 4. Memories Don't Die got a 3. But okay, let's go to he's done like a mixtape, I think, right? He's done a commercial mixtape, Playboy, that was released this year, right? So he's still selling. Can't sell. Really easy. Charted 76 in the United States.
56 in Canada. It's bad.
Failure. So you can sell records, some records, I guess, plural. There are more than one records being sold in a format of some kind. But you're such a bitch, dude. Men playing just games, not, man.
Seriously.
And we always like to end audio face in a fun note.
So, Chris Brown's housekeeper claimed that Chris Brown's dog mauled her, and he alleges he euthanized it to destroy evidence.
In defense of Chris Brown, words I never thought I'd say on this podcast ever, the dog, who was named Hades, was, quote...
We don't make this stuff up, folks.
My writing's not that great. If this were my writing, you'd be able to tell. This is reality, and it rocks. But his dog allegedly, quote, was literally tearing out and ripping off large chunks of her skin from her face and arms, according to the lawsuit. Oh, man. The dog is, quote, allowed to roam loose and free on the premises, and the petite female plaintiff was not aware of that. So, yeah, she was screaming in care, calling to help, and no one claimed her assistance, according to the records. Moments after the attack, Brown ordered his security team to take Hades away to a, quote, nebulous location in Humboldt County. Meanwhile, in Humboldt County and in Northern California, and directed them to, quote, dispose of the dog to avoid any culpability. So, like, the dog
this
takes...
This dude is such a piece of shit, right, that he's like... I can't even treat my own dogs right. First off, I name it Hades. Second off, like I'm such a bad owner that I let the thing maul my housekeeper. No one goes and helps the housekeeper, by the way. There's multiple people on the premise, and she's like yelling for help and shit. As someone who's been attacked by a dog, it's fucking terrifying and it's extremely painful. And then he goes, you know what? Just kill it. Send it up north. Deal with it. Hide the evidence.
Son, the pup's gone to the big marijuana farm up north. Yeah, he'll be fine there. Can you visit? No, it's okay. He just wants to be free. He wants to roam free and left alone to beat some workers there. Yeah, the euthanized dog was involved in an attack on December 12th with serious injuries, according to Humboldt County records. And the dog was euthanized on December 24th, Christmas Eve. Womp womp. So and there I descend even further to hell. The person who was attacked needed 80 stitches to the face and arms. And yeah, it was just really, really not great.
God, I fucking hate Chris Brown, man.
I wonder who's going to be defending Chris Brown, because like I don't. This is like the dogs under the bus, the housekeepers under the bus. Not like Chris Brown's fans care about violence against women per se, but like
it's just rough, literally rough.
Yeah, I was gonna say like great pun there, brother. Exactly. Well, this has been Audio Face.
This has been Audio Face. Thank you for listening to us. If you would like to receive more Audio Face, you could always go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/audiofacepod, where we post more or less daily of all the clips and stuff. We might get some dog photos in there. You never know now, because you know we got to talk about this dumb shit. You could follow me at SW Suarez. If I trust you, you could follow Dan if he trusts you or not. Dan from the web on Twitter, Dan from the internet on Instagram. You can follow the show at Audio Face Pod on everything. I already give you a YouTube link. You can always go to audioface.show as well for all the links to everything that we talk about, all the other stuff you can get more information. Thank you for being organic, and keep it up in the comment section, because this shit is hilarious.
We appreciate y'all. We'll have to do a episode or like a bonus where we read some comments, because it's been wild for months. It's been wild.
We have done that like once, but I want to do it again, because like right now it's the past like 3 months my phone's been blowing up.
Yeah, we haven't done anything since the second Shane video.
Yeah,
so there's definitely a lot of comments to be had there. So we're seriously even just like engagement aside, the idea that we would have people who comment on our podcast in our voice and talk about music in that general is just like really humbling and fascinating for us. We really appreciate that, and hopefully we'll continue making a cool show for y'all in the very near future.
Yes, indubitably. Other than that, have a wonderful day, and stay away from Chris Brown and his dogs.
Yeah. Have a great week. See you soon. Bye.